With a career spanning more than 30 years as a soloist, chamber musician, recording artist, and conductor, Joshua Bell is one of the most celebrated violinists of his era. In addition to being a highly sought-after soloist, Bell is the music director of the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. He's the only person to hold this post since Sir Neville Mariner formed the orchestra in 1958. Bell will be at SPAC in Saratoga Springs, New York this week for two very special programs with the Philadelphia Orchestra. On Friday, August 17th, Yannick Nezet-Séguin will conduct a program featuring Dvorak, Tchaikovsky, and Bell playing a Bruch violin concerto. And on Saturday, August 18th, Joshua Bell and the orchestra, led by Michael Stern, will play John Corleone's Academy Award-winning score to the film The Red Violin, as the film, released in 1998 and directed by François Gérard, plays in SPAC's amphitheater. Joshua Bell, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thanks so much. Nice to be here.
So starting sort of broadly, could you tell me what The Red Violin has meant to you, has meant to your career, and what working on that movie was like?
Well, Red Violin really kind of changed my life in many ways and launched my career into other arenas and was just an amazing experience. I can't believe it's been 20 years.
Right.
But it was a project that that took, you know, it wasn't just a little thing that I went in a studio and recorded for a film, which I've done for some other films. This was a few years of involvement with the directors and the writers and eventually John Corleone, the composer, and then being on the set and trying to play the music to match the on-screen, and then playing, being a body double, and then eventually ending up being in the audience at the Oscars when John Corleone won the Oscar. So it was a wonderful journey. And now I'm revisiting this experience 20 years later with this new sort of idea of playing to film, which has been just wonderful, nostalgic for me, bringing back all these great memories and reminding me that this is like one of the great music scores. John Corleone really deserved that Oscar, and it's just such amazing music.
Could you talk more about what makes the music amazing? What is it about Corleone's compositions that you like, this one and others?
Yeah, well, it was apparent when the filmmakers and I were discussing before John Corleone came on board, is that it needed a very special composer because the story kind of follows a violin over the course of 300 or so years. So the music sort of has to evolve from Baroque music to classical, you know, Mozart times to the Romantic era, and then, of course, have a modern feel as well, because it's current. So somehow you needed a composer that could kind of bridge all those things, and that's no small task. And Corleone is one of the living composers that I felt would be best up for the job because he's so rooted in he has an amazing feel for structure, for style. He's sort of like a Picasso, you know, who is the great artist, obviously, but he could also, he was so well schooled and trained in tradition that he could, if he wanted, he could basically paint in any style. He had that kind of talent, and Corleone was like that, and he created the score that ties in the motifs. It's from the Baroque period and then all these other eras and sort of ties it together in a way that feels completely organic. And it's remarkable what he did. It's a real achievement. And it's also beautiful. He can spin a beautiful melody on top of all of that.
In preparing to play live along with the film, what is different? What do you have to do? How has that worked out compared to playing, you know, without a film? I'm sure that adding a film adds something to the preparation.
Yeah, it's not the normal thing. You can't just get out there and play and make music. You have to also follow along with the film. It has to match up emotionally with what's happening on the screen. And then during some segments, it's even more difficult because it has to literally match up with the violinist playing on screen. So that's probably the hardest thing for me.
I would think so,
especially during the virtuosic things and matching the bow so that the audience feels like they're listening to what's happening on screen and not something separate. So that's quite challenging and a lot of fun as well. I think the audience will get a kick out of it. You know, hopefully I'll match it pretty well. It varies from time to time. There's some poetic license at times, you know, where you just got to realize, even in the film itself, it didn't always match because there were certain scenes where the actor just, you know, was not a violinist. I did my best as a body double and reaching around the actor at times and playing the violin around his body and all kinds of stuff. But there were a lot of tricks involved there. But what it was remarkable, I've done this only once before at this point, and it was really remarkable how having the live music really brought something extra to the film. I think it made it very visceral, and I think it exceeded my expectations. I thought it might be a little bit of a gimmick when I first agreed to it, and when I did it, I thought it was actually quite emotional. I got chills many times myself just hearing the orchestra live while seeing the film. It was, I think, going to be very special.
Could you talk a little bit more about, it sounds like filming it must have been sort of odd and awkward, but of course serves a beautiful purpose and a beautiful film. If you are kind of octopus with the actor to play the violin, how did what was that like?
That's what we called it, because there were so many arms. There were times where we had one violinist playing the bow and I was reaching around playing the left hand and the actor was bobbing his head as if he was playing. We called it the octopus shot, which we devised, which I don't think has ever been used before in film. It never looks good when they play films, play string instruments. It never looks real for us to play. So I think that we did a pretty good job in that way. It was a lot of fun to be part of it. You know, for me being, you know, with the actors and being inside a world that's not my normal world was really, you know, neat for me. And getting to work with Corleano, the composer, who's, you know, meticulous in what he wanted, and the director having his instruction to how to play and how to match his vision. You know, it's a lot of things that take me out of my normal, comfort zone.
And that's something that you have pursued throughout your career, always trying something else. For instance, last year, something was released where it's called the Joshua Bell VR Experience. Could you tell us about that?
That was just my interest outside in technology. That didn't require too much, playing in any differently than I normally would. But that I've always been interested in technology, and did a demonstration, VR demonstration for Sony. For those who get Sony PlayStation VR, they can watch this sort of 3D virtual reality version of Brahms Hungarian Dance that I did. But I have always sought out to, you know, to stretch myself, you know, playing with people like Edgar Meyer, the great bluegrass and classical and great composer, a double bass player, you know, and he brought me in with some legendary bluegrass players like Sam Bush and Mike Marshall, you know, and Bella Fleck and others. I've gotten to play with jazz musicians like Chick Corea and others, you know, all those, whenever I do those things, it does stretch me but I just always learn so much from it. And it's just good fun to be adventurous and try new things.
The Red Violin will screen with you playing live on the 18th at SPAC in Saratoga Springs. On the 17th, you're also performing with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Yannick Nezès again will be conducting a program. Can you tell us what you're looking forward to on that program?
Well, it's going to be a fun week for me because, with the Red Violin, I get to revisit that and play with one of my closest friends, Michael Stern, the great, wonderful conductor, mm-hmm. for that one. And the night before, with absolutely one of my favorite musicians on the planet, Yannick is an incredible musician and conductor. So whenever I play with him, and we've now played several times, it's always a joy because it's like making chamber music the way he conducts, and it just always feels so good. I've been directing myself lately with the Bruch Concerto, which we're playing. You know, I do it mostly, I conduct it myself. So it's rare that I actually enjoy it more with the conductor. He's one of the few that I actually will enjoy it even more. And of course, the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's a lot of connections to my life. Philadelphia Orchestra was, I made my debut with them when I was 14 years old, so I have a special feeling there. And Yannick is great. And even SPAC, I first visited SPAC when I was 12 years old, going to summer camp at Meadowmount, a music camp not far from there. And they took us on a trip, and I heard Kyung-Hwa Chung and Charles Dutoit conducting and a concert, Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, when I was 12 years old. So that goes way back, too. So it'll be a nice week for me.
Earlier this summer, you released a new album with Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. You're the music director for that organization. Mm-hmm. And it is a new album called Scottish Fantasy out on Sony Classical. You want to tell us a little bit about why you made this album and why now?
Well, the Bruch Concerto, which I'm playing at SPAC, this is on this album as well, along with Bruch's Scottish Fantasy. So it's his two most revered works, and both fortunately for the violin and orchestra. And the Bruch Concerto, of course, is really one of the most played and pieces in the repertoire. It's you would call it, you know, in the top five big ones, along with Mendelssohn, Brahms, Beethoven, maybe Tchaikovsky. But the Scottish Fantasy, which I named the album Scottish Fantasy, is lesser known, although amongst violinists treasured, and it's one of the most beautiful pieces written for the instrument as well. And I've been playing both those pieces with my orchestra, I like to call it the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Mm-hmm. And I've recorded the Bruch Concerto once before, very early in my career, with Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy as well. But it's so different for me now that the piece means something very different now. And I felt really ready to do it again and to record Scottish Fantasy for the first time. So I love this, you know, working with the orchestra and conducting and directing and playing at the same time. It's very organic the way that works, and it's fun to you know, record these things in this way.
You just used a phrase. It sparked me to think of something I've never thought about before. You mentioned these Bruch pieces being fortunately for the violin, which is your instrument.
Yes.
Have you ever, throughout your life of listening to music, do you ever hear something that isn't for the violin that you wish was, that so it could be more yours? Or do you adapt things or have people reorchestrate things so that you can play something that you want to play?
Oh, plenty, plenty. First of all, you know, I'm always grateful for certain, you know, it's interesting when, you know, think of like Sibelius wrote a violin, because he didn't write a lot of instrumental pieces like the, you know, but somehow he was asked to write a violin concerto, and I try to imagine life without the Sibelius violin concerto, and cellists will say, oh, we wish we had one, and, you know, I'm jealous of pianists that have five Beethoven concertos, we just have, you know, one. So I'm grateful for what we do have, and the violin has a rich repertoire, but I'm constantly playing pieces that were not originally written for the violin. I did a whole album called Voice of the Violin, which is basically all vocal repertoire, which works very well on the instrument because the violin is a singing instrument. So, I've transcribed and made arrangements of many things. I firmly believe in celebrating music in that way. It's a tradition that goes far back. People in the 19th century were playing full Beethoven symphonies on the piano, and people like Sarasate on the violin was writing the Carmen Fantasy, which was an opera, you know, and playing it on the violin. So this is something that's always been done. It's a beautiful way to celebrate music, and it's neat to see, to listen to music in different ways. So yes, I steal many things.
I wouldn't call it stealing. Joshua Bell, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for your time, and have a great time at SPAC.
Nice speaking with you. Can't wait to come back.
Joshua Bell performs with the Philadelphia Orchestra at SPAC this Friday and Saturday. To learn more, visit SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.